Hi, and welcome to this audio edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? With host Doris Hansen. On this program, we discuss polygamy and Mormon fundamentalism from a biblical Christian perspective. We talk about the history of polygamy, its modern-day fruit, share stories from people who have escaped polygamy, and talk about current events related to polygamy. You can learn more about the video edition of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. And now, here's Doris.
In 1886, a woman by the name of Jenny Anderson Froiseth published a book entitled The Women of Mormonism. And in the book, it tells about a man who visited Utah to investigate Mormon polygamy. And when he returned, he was asked his opinion of Mormon polygamy as a religious tenet. He said that it may be a good enough for a certain class of men, but for the women, it was a damnable doctrine. He went on to say that the best resources of our language could not supply him with strong enough terms in which he could denounce this infamous doctrine of Mormon polygamy. He said that the cornerstone of polygamy is the degradation of woman, and it can flourish only where she is regarded and treated as a slave. I want to repeat that. He said the cornerstone of polygamy is the degradation of woman, and it can only flourish where she is regarded and treated as a slave. Welcome to Polygamy, What Love Is This? My name is Doris Hansen, and I'm the host for the program. And I continue to ask the question, what love is this? I have read several stories and continue to read many historical documents of early Mormon polygamy. This is just one of many that I'm going to be sharing with you in the future. And as we share these stories and read the horrors of some of the things that the early polygamous women went through, we will continue to understand that there is no way that polygamy could have been commanded by a loving God. Our program is broadcast live from Salt Lake City, Utah. It's a telephone call-in program, and we will be opening the telephone lines a bit later for you to call in and express your concerns and ask your questions regarding polygamy. Our telephone number is 801-973-TV20, 801-973-8820. I'd like to give you some information, communication with our ministry, the Helps Ministry for Polygamists. You can go to the webpage, shieldandrefuge.org, and find information about polygamy there. And if you or anyone that you know is being abused, being forced into anything, perhaps being sexually molested, forced into incest, or an underage marriage, contact someone off the webpage, and you will get confidential and sensitive help pronto. Our webpage for the show is aboutpolygamy.com. You can find future programming listed there, as well as previous programs on streaming video. And if you know someone outside of the viewing area, you can tell them to go there and they can watch the program off the internet. Our email address for the show is tv@aboutpolygamy.com. We do invite you to send us information that you might have, private information. You can ask for resources that we offer from time to time, suggestions for the show. Please let us know what you think about the program by emailing us tv@aboutpolygamy.com. Also, I would like to remind those who may have a fear of calling in. If you're in a polygamy group, you might be afraid that you're going to be recognized either by name or voice. Please remember that all you need to do is, when the operator answers, to say you want to remain anonymous. And you can answer or ask your question and make your comments, and no one will know it was you, and you will be safe. I'd like to talk to you about our calendar of events. Our discussion group is next Monday evening. We have a discussion group every third Monday of each month. It will be from 6:30 until 8 p.m. And if you're interested in joining us, we would invite you to come. For details, go to the email us at tv@aboutpolygamy.com, and we will give you the details of the discussion group. If you are in a polygamy group and you have questions or issues, you're invited to come. If you have left a polygamy group, we invite you to come and maybe help someone who is thinking of leaving. Or if you are, heaven forbid, thinking of joining a polygamy group, you definitely need to come. So email us at tv@aboutpolygamy.com. Next week, we're going to have on the show someone who was on several weeks ago, Evan Hansen, who is a family counselor and therapist, was on the show, and he gave us some good information on how to deal with situations when we come out of a controlling religious group. And I have had so many requests for him to come back, and questions. People's asked me to ask him when he returns. So I contacted him, and he said he's moving out of state the first part of December, and if we could fit him in before then, he would be glad to come. So he's coming next week, preempted what we had on plan, but that's fine. So if you have any questions that you would like to ask him as a counselor about being in or leaving a controlling religious group, just email us, tv@aboutpolygamy.com, and we'd be happy to ask him a question while he's here. Also, in the future, we're going to deal with subjects that people have called in about or questioned about. We had a caller a few weeks ago who mentioned that David's wives were given to him by Nathan the prophet, and I disagreed, and he disagreed with me, and also I just decided, well, let's just do a part of a show on that. So we'll be doing that in the future as well. We're also going to start a study on polygamy in the Bible. That will probably be in a couple of weeks. So get out your Bibles, blow the dust off of them, and get it ready, because we're going to be looking through some of the specific scriptures that deal with polygamy in the Bible. Also, on December 5th, write it on your calendar, TV20 is having their annual open house, Christmas open house. It's going to be, that's a Friday evening, it's going to be from 7 until 9 p.m. You're invited to come, and we'll have treats here, and some gifts, and all of the hosts of TV20 programs will be on each set, and we would love to have you come and meet with us all. From time to time, in fact, on most every program, I will talk and encourage our viewers to check out what you believe. Find out why you believe what you believe. If you just believe in something because someone told you to, you will never know whether you have the truth or not. And so we always encourage you to check out every aspect of your belief system to be sure whether it's true or not. Someone made the suggestion that I list some of the resources where people can go to do their studies and to do their research. And so I have some recommendations tonight for you to look into and do your research as you study what you believe. First of all, we have websites that I'm going to recommend. The Shield and Refuge webpage does have these listed where you can go on to links and click onto them. And the website is lhvm.org, utlm.org, mrm.org, janicehutchinson.com, irr.org, and bcmmin.org. You can go any one of those websites, and they will have a link page where you can click on and launch your research there. And there's a lot of good information about this subject matter on the internet. There's also some books that I have read about polygamy that I think are fantastic. And if any of you are interested in reading material on it, I am going to recommend some books for you to read as well. The first book is entitled The Sixth of Seven Wives by Mary Mackert, His Favorite Wife by Susan Ray Schmidt, Illegitimate by Brian Mackert, and these three authors, by the way, have been on this program, Shattered Dreams by Irene Spencer, Under the Banner of Heaven by John Krakauer, Escape by Carolyn Jessup, Stolen Innocence by Elissa Wall. Elissa Wall is the young woman who helped put Warren Jeffs in jail. Tell It All by T.B.H. Stenhouse. Wife Number 19, A Life of Bondage by Anne Eliza Young. The Women of Mormonism by Jenny Anderson Froyseth. And those last three were all written in 1870s and the 1880s. So it gives you a good idea of what early Mormon polygamy was about. We also, of course, have this material. The book on biblical polygamy is Polygamy Biblical. And we have the DVD, Lifting the Veil of Polygamy. And these you can order off of the website, shieldandrefuge.org. So those would be some good information to get started on your investigation of this subject matter. Tonight, we don't have a special guest. It's just me for the duration. And the reason I've decided to do that is because I get so many phone calls we don't often get to take on the air, and so they'll leave a message and ask me to cover it, or emails or special questions from viewers asking me to deal with the issue on the show. And so we don't, when we have a guest, we don't have time to really pay attention to the guest and handle all of these questions as well. And so I decided we would just have a show maybe once a month or so with no guests so that we can deal with all these questions and deal with it in detail. We still ask you to send us your emails and your questions by telephone as well, because we do want to deal with them at our earliest convenience. I would also like to remind our viewers that when the telephone lines are opened, which we'll be opening up in a few minutes, this show is about polygamy. That's the topic. We would appreciate it if our callers would stay on topic and just stay on the early Mormon polygamy, present-day polygamy, how early Mormon polygamy connects with modern polygamy, and the peripheral subject matter is just fine, but please stay on topic rather than taking rabbit trails off to some other subject matter. And also, out of respect to our other viewers and our other callers, we would like our callers to please keep your questions down to one question, or if you've got really short ones, maybe two. And also, if you have comments, please keep that down to 2 minutes or less. Last week, we had a caller. And I do not know that caller's name is the name he gave was an alias or if it's his real name. And because I don't know that, I'm only going to say the initial of his name, which is R. The operator told me that he acted very frightened, and he hung up before he had the opportunity to make his remark or ask his question. He said he would email me, and I never got the email. I know that there is a lot of fear from people in polygamy groups who are reaching to the outside for questions or for information. And I know that people call in and they get frightened and hang up before they ever get that far. I am just appealing to you, R, or anyone else who is going through this fear, to please email me, tv@aboutpolygamy.com, or ask your question anonymously. No one will know it's you. You don't need to fear. There is not going to be any way that your confidentiality is going to be compromised. So please contact us. We also had a call last week from someone, J.D. Turner. And J.D. asked if we had a tape available on the Sandra Tanner interview, which we interviewed her on the show July 17th. Well, we don't have a tape available, but station might here, TV20 may have one available, but you're in luck because 2 weeks from tonight is Thanksgiving, and I am going to spend that night with my family rather than being here, and all of our behind-the-scenes volunteers are also going to spend that night with their families, so we decided that we would rerun Sandra Tanner's interview on that night. I would like you to know that everybody that helps with this program, the camera people, the people who help direct, the people in the tech room, the audio people, the telephone people, every single one of them are volunteers. And they give time, and it's of their own private time that they give so that this program can be broadcast. I would like to thank them all for that right now, because we sure couldn't do it without them. And so they're going to be home with their families. Sandra Tanner interview will be run again. You can hit your record button and you'll have your tape of Sandra Tanner's program. So I hope that answers your question, JD. Last week, we also had some telephone calls from some folks who asked questions regarding the Bible versions. And we had a call from Jody and from Jason. Now, I was able to get a hold of Jason, but Jody, I couldn't get a hold of you. And so I hope that you're watching the program. But at any rate, the question was, what Bible can you trust? What Bible is the best one? And Jody mentioned, is it the King James or is it the NIV? Right now, I don't really think that this program needs to get involved in the controversy of which Bible is the correct Bible. However, there is a question that I'm going to mention right after this one that's going to plunge me right into it. So I want to say this much. There is good translations of the Bible out there. King James Version is a very good translation. We do not speak in Shakespearean English anymore. But there are many people who enjoy reading it. It's a good translation, but there's also other translations that are good as well. And if you look into it and study the translation that you're interested in buying, the version that you're interested in reading, there are some that you can trust. And if you want more information on that, you can email me, tv@aboutpolygamy.com. But we do not want to use this show as the launching pad for the controversy on the correct translation. However, I do want to say this. God promised that He would preserve His Word to us, and He has. There are many ancient manuscripts that verifies the accuracy of the translations that we have. Whether it's a modern translation or the King James, they are there to prove that the translations and the transmissions of the Bible has been done correctly and God has kept His promise. If He hasn't kept His promise, He's a liar, because He promised His Word would be preserved through all generations. Therefore, if you want to go to a modern translation, there are good ones out there for you to go to. Any further talk and discussion on that particular issue will have to be done off the show and perhaps either on the telephone calls or through emails. However, one of the phone calls we received last week was from someone who did not leave their name. I don't know if this was a Mr. or a Miss or Ms., but this is what our caller said. The LDS do believe in the Bible just as much as the Book of Mormon. A lot of the Bible was left out. The King James is the correct one. To say they do not believe the Bible is false. Please answer next time. Okay, I'm answering. So, like I said, we're going to be talking about different translations of the Bible and other things. Since we don't name the caller, I'm going to have to call you Mr. Anonymous, I guess. But I'm wondering, sir, if you are an official spokesperson for the LDS Church, because you have made a blanket statement as though the LDS Church has just said that they believe the Bible as much as the Book of Mormon. maybe the LDS Church has changed their articles of faith, because number 8 of the articles of faith says, we believe the Bible to be the Word of God as far as it's translated correctly. They have put a disclaimer there on the Bible. And then they go on to say, excuse me, we also believe the Book of Mormon to be the Word of God. No disclaimer on the Book of Mormon, but there is a disclaimer on their belief in the Bible. And so I have to wonder, do you really believe in the Bible as much as the Book of Mormon? I'd have to say no if there's a disclaimer. Interesting, because the Bible has so many manuscripts to prove that it has been translated and transmitted correctly. There are no manuscripts for the Book of Mormon to prove anything. So, this caller says, a lot of the Bible was left out. Okay, I have a question about that. First of all, what parts of the Bible were left out? Where are they? The articles of faith say, as far as it's translated correctly, what parts of the Bible are mistranslated? If you would email me at tv@aboutpolygamy.com and tell me where the missing parts are, what they are, and where the mistranslations are, we could clear this up very quickly. However, I have never heard anybody be able to tell me, or people that I've talked to, where those missing parts are. And again, I have to say, God promised to keep His word through all generations. And if parts of the Bible are missing, He lied. And we cannot trust a God who could or would lie. Also, she says, or he says, the King James is the correct one. So I have to assume this person is also an expert on Bible translations. How do you know it's the correct one? Have you checked out the others? Have you read all of the write-ups on each version? Do you know which manuscripts they were taken from? Have you checked the Greek text and the Hebrew texts? How do you know the King James Version is the right one? I'm not saying it's a wrong one, but how do you know? I think it's just something that we always need to check out before we make such blanket statements. There are good Bible versions out there. The King James is good, but it's not the only good one. So I hope this answers your questions, whoever you were that called in last week. Okay, now, another one. Several weeks ago, we brought up the fact that Brigham Young had made a challenge to folks to take the Bible and to compare it with the Mormon religion and see if it stands the test. And you know, we do that every week here. We will take comments or quotes from early Mormonism, present-day polygamy groups, and all kinds of things that come up. And we get criticized for that. We are called on the carpet for it. We are told that we're being intolerant and unloving because we are bashing other religions when actually all we're doing is quoting from Mormon historical documents. I thought I would bring up something tonight that maybe you could look into yourself. People who say that we need to be more Christ-like and loving and not bash other religions needs to read Matthew chapter 23. Do you know that Jesus did not tolerate anyone who repressed the truth or hid the truth from the people? And in Matthew chapter 23, he talks to the religious leaders of his day, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and he told them what he thought of them repressing the truth. And it wasn't exactly loving. He called them hypocrites, serpents, a generation of vipers full of iniquity, and other choice descriptive phrases. Now, we're not here to do that to you. I'm not going to call anybody names like that. I'll leave that up to him. He can do that very well, and I think we've talked about this in the past. But we are here to witness of the truth. And if we find out that something has been said by one of these polygamous, pro-polygamous people, we have to stand up for the truth and bring the Bible to bear on what has been said. And that's what we do. And that's what we will continue to do. So, just like Brigham Young said, challenge your belief with the Book of Mormon with the Bible. And that's what we're doing. I would like to give you some biblical passages to read so you will know that it is a good idea to test all teachings. We've talked about that already tonight, and we'll talk about it a little bit more right now. If we know and believe the truths of God, we will never be led astray by men who would like to use mind control techniques on us. The first scripture I would like to mention is Jeremiah 17:9. You might want to make a note of this. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Proverbs 28:26. "He that trusts in his own heart is a fool." Now, I bring these verses up simply because I hear people say, "Trust your heart. Your heart won't lead you astray. If something feels right, go ahead and follow it. If something doesn't feel right, your heart's not going to tell you something wrong." Well, the Bible here says just the opposite. In fact, when is your heart the measure for truth? What if my heart tells me something different than your heart? Which heart is the one that's being truthful? Actually, the Bible is the word of truth. Jesus said in John 17 that your word is truth, as he was speaking to the Father. So that's what and Jesus himself is the truth. He says so in John 14:6. So if you read the Bible, you will find out God's truth, and of course that was written to us from God's heart. In Proverbs 14:12, it says, There is a way what seems right to men, to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So if you follow your heart and it seems right, as people in polygamy groups are, that's all they know, that's all they've been taught, and it seems right to you, check it out. Because it says here, it could lead you to the ways of death. And it's talking about eternal death here. It's not talking about physical death. Check it out. It's your salvation, not mine. It's your eternity, not mine. I'm just here to warn you and do that you would obey God and do what He told you to do in Acts chapter 17:11, 1 Thessalonians 5:21, where we are supposed to search the Scriptures every day to see if what we're learning is true, where we're supposed to test all things and hold fast that which is good. So when you find the truth and you look and you study why you believe what you believe and you look at all aspects of it, read opposing views. Whenever you read anything that's just faith promoting, you're not going to get the whole truth. You can't. So look it up. Check it out. The pros and the cons. And then when you find the proof, stick to it. When you find the truth, hold on to it. Don't let it go. Don't compromise it. We're going to be opening up the phone lines in a few minutes. The telephone number is 801-973-8820, 801-973-TV20. And as the calls start coming in, I will go ahead with this next part of the show. I was asked this question actually several weeks ago, and because I wanted to take my sweet time talking about it, I waited until we had the time to do it. And so I'm going to talk about right now the request that we had. It said, tell about Joseph Smith's claim of an angel who threatened to kill him if he didn't live polygamy. So we're going to take a real close look at that one right now. Mary Leitner was one of Joseph Smith's plural wives. And while she was still married to a man by the name of Adam Leitner, Joseph Smith proposed to her. She was living with this man, Adam Leitner, and she later, after Joseph Smith was killed, she later also married Brigham Young, and she was still married to Adam Leitner. She gave an address to the Brigham Young University in 1905, and this is what she said about Joseph Smith. He preached polygamy, and he not only preached it, he practiced it. I am a living witness to it. It was given to him before he gave it to the church. An angel came to him, and the last time he came with a drawn sword in his hand and told Joseph if he did not go into the principle, he would slay him. Okay, now that's what she said, that Joseph Smith said about an angel coming and threatening him with death if he didn't practice polygamy. According to her, Joseph Smith told her, the angel came to me three times. Take notice of these dates. Three times during the years of 1834 through 1842. And he told her that if he didn't obey the angel, he would be slain. Now we have another woman we're going to talk about who also was married to another man, who also Joseph Smith proposed to, and her name was Zena Huntington. By the way, these you can read about in Todd Compton's book, In Sacred Loneliness. Todd Compton is a Mormon in well-standing historian. He has written this book, and he has a lot of documented evidence for all of this that I'm going to be talking about here, everything in his book. Anyway, 19-year-old Zena Huntington was married to a man by the name of Henry. She was living with him, and Joseph Smith approached her and proposed to her. And she was very conflicted about that, and she didn't give him an answer. So one day, Joseph Smith got tired of waiting. And so she sent Zena's older brother, Dimmick, to her with this message. An angel with a drawn sword stood over Smith and told him that if he did not establish polygamy, he would lose his position and his life. Zena was now faced with the responsibility of Joseph Smith's position as prophet and perhaps even his life. And so because of that, she reluctantly agreed to marry Joseph Smith, and she did on October 27, 1841. She did, even though she was already married and living with her husband, Henry. Now, this brings up a lot of questions. We can't deal with all of those questions tonight, and if you have some, you're welcome to call in as well. But why would Joseph Smith go after married women when Section 132 of the Doctrine and Covenants says, if a man take 10 virgins, he cannot commit adultery. But if a woman comes under this covenant and she goes with another man, she has committed adultery and needs to be destroyed. Why did Joseph Smith cause these women to commit adultery? They were already married. And you know what? He did that with 11 women. 11 women were already married and living with their husbands. He married them also. Now, Wilford Woodruff and George Q. Cannon, they also brought out the fact that Joseph claimed that he had an angel with a drawn sword come and threaten him with his life if he didn't practice polygamy. So let's look at biblical angels. Were there Bible angels in the Bible that did this? Now, there are angels in the Bible, and some of them do some pretty awesome things. But you know what? There's not one single powerful angel in the Bible that came with a drawn sword and threatened to kill any human being if they did not obey a command that God commanded against. If that makes sense, because that's exactly what this angel is trying to get Joseph Smith to do. God did not command polygamy. Therefore, an angel is not going to come and insist somebody obey something that hasn't been commanded. There's other questions that I want to ask about this angel with the sword story. Perhaps you've asked them already. I know other people have asked these questions. First of all, the Mormon Church from the very beginning has embraced free agency. Where is Joseph Smith's free agency here? He's threatened with death on the spot if he doesn't do it. What happened to the women's free agency? Did you see how he coerced them to marry him? Already married women, he did that with other single women as well. And you know what? The polygamy groups of today do exactly the same thing. They threaten their women and they threaten their girls with hellfire and damnation and eternal condemnation if they don't practice polygamy. It comes from the same thing. The threat that he said he received is completely against God's perfect love. The threat is completely against his revealed word for monogamy. And it's completely against his revealed word against polygamy. Therefore, it could not have been an angel of God who threatened Joseph Smith. Ladies in polygamy, God loves you. There is hope and happiness with God without polygamy. Now, when we obey God by putting to the test Acts 17:11 and 1 Thessalonians 5:21, like we talked about a little earlier, we will have to discredit and discard Joseph Smith's angel with the sword story. But let's look at it with some facts as well. According to the timing of Joseph Smith's polygamy and the angel with the sword story, he began practicing polygamy at least 1 year before the first angel of this with the sword visitation. His first documented plural wife was Fanny Alger. He married her in early 1833. He told Mary Leitner that between the years of 1834 and 1842, this angel appeared to him. So he had already been practicing polygamy at least a year, perhaps longer, before the angel with the sword came. Therefore, he didn't have to be threatened to live it. He was already living it. So again, we see that the coercion and the deceit that went along with Joseph Smith and polygamy proves once again that it's not something that has come from God. Okay, we do have some calls coming in. I still have a few things I'd like to cover, but we'll see if we can get to those as well. First question is, what were statutory rape laws like in the 1800s? Good grief, I don't know. I'll have to look that one up. I'm thinking it would probably be lynching, but I don't know. I'll have to find out for you and let you know. So I'll cover that one in a program in the future. But we have on line two, Valerie from West Valley. Hello, Valerie.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Couple of things.
Uh-huh.
I was going to bring in my great-great-great-great-grandmother's journal. She was a polygamous wife.
I'd love to see
it. Her name is Jane Charters Robinson Hindley, and I have her. She was born in January 6, 1828, died November 16, 1907.
Whoa.
Her journal is the saddest thing I've ever read, and she still believed all the way to the end.
They did, a lot
of them. I wanted to comment on is the Pharisees were always trying to trip Jesus up throughout the entire New Testament.
They were, weren't they?
And they sent some lawyers to ask him about a woman who had been married to seven men. They were all brothers.
Right.
The first one died, and as is the custom of the Jews, the second one took her to wife, and then he died, and the third, and so on, until she had married all seven brothers, and they had all died, and finally she died. And they said to Jesus, whose wife shall she be in the kingdom? And Jesus said, you do greatly err, for there is no marriage or given in marriage in the kingdom of God.
Absolutely.
You know, and throughout the Bible, that's very clear. And I have a really hard time with this eternal marriage and polygamy thing after reading the Bible from the Old Testament to the New.
You know, Valerie, what?
Beginning to the end, and that's all you need.
That's exactly right. You are right on. What they have done, though, with that scripture you've just talked about, it's a very valid scripture, but they have said that that scripture is saying they have to get married before they die because they can't get married when they're there, and the only way that you get exaltation is to be married. And so if you better get married while you're here because you can't get married there. That's what they've done with that scripture, which is
a
very poor
translation.
Well, what
they've tried to do with the entire Bible if it doesn't fit what they believe.
Right. They make
and the
it
problem
fit.
Is the Bible itself, and the very last thing it tells you in Revelations, as a matter of fact,
right,
is that anybody who adds to those words will have the plagues added, and anybody who takes away is going to have their part taken away out of the kingdom.
So that's right.
You can't add to the Bible, and you can't take away from the Bible, because you can twist it any way you want to. It's still going to say what it says.
It does say what it says, and if they did a really good test on those verses and on all of the controversial verses they use, they would find out that they have got them pretty twisted up. But we do thank you, and that you've got them made a very good point. And I'd love
we'll
to see that diary.
This book into you.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. It'd be awesome.
I finally found it.
Okay.
Just found it. My daughter had it.
Okay. Well, thank you, Valerie. Appreciate your call.
Be bringing that into you.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye. Night. Okay, we have Christian from Logan. Hello, Christian.
Yeah.
Yes, you're on the air.
Hello,
Christian.
How's it going?
It's going pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing good, thanks.
What's your question?
My question is, because I've grown up my whole life just following my instincts in my heart, and I'm not an active churchgoer, but you said that you can't trust your heart. My question is, if you can't trust your heart, what can you trust?
Well, that was part of what I was talking about. The Bible is very clear that the Word of God is the truth. And if you want guidance in your life, you can find that by reading and studying the Bible and God's will for your life. He'll guide and direct you, and He will lead you into all truth. Jesus promised that. But to follow your heart, you know, your heart can change hourly. You may be in a darn good mood one minute, and the next minute get some bad news, and your heart's going to be changing. So you can't trust that. I'm not saying that instinctively, especially through experience, won't teach you a few things, but just to follow your heart is a very dangerous thing to do.
And how can I know, you say the Word of God is what you should trust, how do I know what is the Word of God? How do I find that out?
Well, you can open up the Bible, and as you open up the Bible, start reading, and pray to the Lord that He would show you and lead you into all truth. He will do that. I would suggest that you start with the Gospel of John and just pray and ask the Lord to show you what He needs to show you. And you can ask Him. You can ask God for guidance in your life. I do it all the time. And boy, I'll tell you, He's done some pretty good guiding. So that's the way you would start.
Well, how is he going to show me, though, if it's not through my heart?
Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Christian?
I do.
You do? You have accepted Jesus into your heart and into your life? Then all you need to do is ask Him for the guidance that you need, and He will give it to you, and you'll know it's from Him. You'll know what to do. You know the difference between right and wrong. And so if there's other decisions that you need to make, Proverbs says that with a multiple of counselors, it helps us make decisions so that you can get godly advice from other people who are also Christians. There are ways, using the Bible as your guide, to be guided in different issues in your life.
Mm.
Does that help you?
You said the book of John you recommended to me?
I would read that. I would start with the book of John, yes. That's a very good book. If you have any questions as you read through it, ask the Lord to give you clarity. And any questions you have, if you want to email tv@aboutpolygamy.com, we'd be happy to help you with that as well.
Okay. And so as I read the Bible, because I've never read it very much from beginning to end.
Uh-huh.
Is the Bible got everything? Is everything in the Bible truth? You know, of everything in the Bible I can live today and follow, or should live today and follow?
Yes, everything will, it'll never lead you astray. It has all truth is in the Bible. It's not just contains the truth, it is the truth. There's a lot of history in there, but you can learn from what other people did as well. There's a lot of guidance in there. The book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. The New Testament will show you how you can get a right relationship with Jesus Christ and a right relationship with God. The Holy Spirit is promised to be our counselor, and it has Jesus promised that He would lead us into all truth.
Hello?
Hello? Did you hear that?
Last I heard was counselor.
The Holy Spirit, He's our counselor, and Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would lead us into all truth if we have trusted Him to be our Lord and our Savior.
Okay.
Does that
All right, I'll do that. And I was just flipping through the channels when I came across your TV show there, and that's when I caught. I think I turned it right to when you said, you know, don't trust your heart.
My goodness.
But I see that also. It's the TV polygamy.
Uh huh.
Did you say TV polygamy? Your email address?
It's tv@aboutpolygamy.com.
Okay.
TV
is
at about
show
polygamy.
About polygamy or?
Sorry, I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said.
Just the Word of God.
I'm sorry. I didn't catch what you said.
Oh, sorry about that. I'm just not familiar with your show. I was just wondering if the show is about, you know, the Word of God or about polygamy. Because isn't
well, it's about both.
We
deal with the issues of polygamy, and we measure it the ideas and the teachings of polygamy up to what the Bible says, because polygamists claim that God has commanded polygamy for salvation, and that's not in the Bible. And so we use the Bible as the measure of truth for that, trying to help the polygamists to see they don't need to be in this kind of bondage and live this kind of life when God has a life of freedom in mind for them. So that's basically what the show's about. We bring in all aspects of polygamy.
Okay, I see.
Uh-huh.
All right, well, thanks a bunch.
Okay, thank you, Christian. Good night.
All right.
Okay, we have Clarence from West Valley. Whoops, it says line one, but there's no one there. So we'll take Chad from American Fork. He's on line two. Hello, Chad?
Yes.
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi, Doris.
Hello, Chad. How are you?
Is this Doris?
This is Doris.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, my question was just my understanding of, I'm just a college student right now, and my understanding of the LDS Church is that it's kind of supposed to be a restoration of the practices in the Bible. And so that's how I've had it explained to me, is that polygamy was a restoration of the practice that the patriarchs in the Bible practiced, like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Is that consistent with what you're talking about?
The Mormon Church claims to be a restoration. However, a restoration wasn't needed. Restoration is needed only if there has been a loss, and there was no loss anywhere at any time. Now, the patriarchs in the Bible did live polygamy, some of them, not all of them, but some of them did. But that doesn't mean it was the right thing to do. My challenge always has been, and will remain so, that if someone can prove that that God has, in the Bible, commanded polygamy and made it as part of his salvation plan, to please send that scripture to me. And so far, no one's done that.
Okay. But then I just get confused, because I just saw you talking to Christian and Logan, and you were telling him that the Bible's the Word of God. And
it is.
I've always looked at these Bible figures as kind of my heroes. We hear about the great things that they've done. And so how do you know that practice wasn't right for them?
Because God never commanded it. God will lead us into all truth. He says he will. And because the Bible is actually against it. It starts with Adam and Eve, and we're going to start a biblical polygamy series where we're going to go through each section in the
Thank
Bible.
Thank you for calling TV20. What love is this?
I don't know what's happened there.
I was just on the air with her. I think I got cut off.
Well, no, you're still
okay.
There.
And your name?
I was Chad in American Fork.
Oh, okay. And, okay, Chad, what?
I don't know what's going on there, but something happened. I guess we'll wait and see what happens with that phone call. Evidently. Okay. He can call back and we'll finish answering his question. I did get a request from someone a couple of weeks ago. And she said that they noticed that every week I talk about salvation being a gift of God. And I always have a gift here on the table to represent the fact that salvation is a gift from God. The Bible says it is. In Romans 6:23 is one place. You might want to get a concordance and look up gift and find out how many times it talks about that. But she said, why don't you tell our viewers how to receive that gift? And so I thought I'd take some time tonight to do that. First of all, and this is going to take a few minutes, so if Chad tries to get back on the air, maybe we can deal with that. But anyway, first of all, we all need to recognize the fact that we're sinners. Every person on this planet is a sinner. No one has ever been born except Jesus Christ who wasn't a sinner. Jesus told us in John chapter 8 that if we die in our sins, where he goes, we cannot come. Therefore, I just got a message there. I can't think twice. It says there were some calls that were dropped because of technical problems. Oh, my goodness. So that's what happened to Chad. We are very sorry about that. Anyone who got dropped off, please call back. And we hope that the technical problems will be solved. So please call back, Chad and anyone else as well. And we apologize for that. But let's get back to this. Jesus said that if anyone dies in their sins, where he goes, you cannot come. And so that, of course, is heaven. So we have to be rid of our sins. We cannot go into heaven carrying our sins with us. We have to be wiped out before we die. And the way that happens, we're told in 1 John 1:7, is the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We're saved by grace. We are not saved by works. And so the gift that God wants to give us is not by works, but as a gift. And that's the gift of eternal life. So Isaiah 43:25 says, I, even I, am the one who blots out thy transgressions. God is the one who blots out our transgressions. And he says he remembers our sins no more. How do you receive the gift? John 3:18 says, Jesus said, he that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes who believes not is condemned already. John 5:24, he that hears my word and believes in me has everlasting life. That's a gift. What does the word believe mean? We went into the Greek language. It means not just I believe that George Washington was the first president. It means that you need to embrace, to be firmly persuaded of something, and with the idea of hope and expectation that you're going to place your full confidence in what you're believing in, that you're going to trust and rely upon. That's what the word believes mean. Now, that's quite a bit. And that's what Jesus said. That's all you have to do. Trust in Him, believe in Him, and He'll give you the gift. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive you and cleanse you. And then John 1:11 through 12 says that to all who receive Him, to them He gives the power to become sons of God. You do not become a child of God until you receive Jesus Christ, until you receive the gift. And so if your heart's desire is that you would like Jesus Christ in your heart and life, you'd like to have your sins wiped out, that you recognize you're a sinner in need of a Savior, just talk to God. That's all He wants you to do. And just talk to Him about what's on your mind. Tell Him that you believe that you're a sinner and Jesus is the Savior. Tell Him that you would like Him to clean you of your sins and your unrighteousness and give Him or give you His gift of righteousness and salvation. Thank Him for dying on the cross for your sins. Invite Him into your heart and into your life. And thank Him for His indescribable gift. And believe me, if you come to Him in humility and in solid belief, He will give you the gift immediately. Read the Gospel of John all the way through. Email us if you have questions about it. And let us know if you do ask Jesus into your heart. We'd like to know. We'd like to be helpful to you if you do. So why not take His gift tonight? Now, we do have Chad back on line two. So let's see if we can ditch. Well, we thought, huh? Hello, Mike. Mike.
Hello.
Hello, Mike.
This is Clarence.
Oh, Clarence, my goodness, we have something going on here with our technical difficulties, I'll tell you. Okay, Clarence.
How you doing?
I'm fine, but our something's not. How are you?
I'm doing super.
What can I help you with?
Earlier you made a statement about Brigham Young, and he said, pick up the Bible and compare it to the Latter-day Saints' faith, and see if the Latter-day Saints' faith stands the test or something.
Uh-huh.
Effect.
Yeah.
And that brought up a passage that I remember Orson Pratt stated in The Seer, and I believe it was, convince us of our errors, if we have any, by reason, by logic, and we will be eternally grateful to you.
Okay.
I believe that was the statement.
That sounds familiar.
So I just wanted to share that one.
So Orson Pratt also gave us the challenge.
Yeah.
Okay.
Check us out.
Uh-huh. Basically. Check us out. And that's what we're doing. And yet we get chastised for it because we're supposed to just believe everything they say without checking it out.
Yeah. Yeah. I talk with, you know, some obvious people once in a while, and I have a hard time with that. They always wonder, why are you, questioning
our
teachings and our doctrines.
They're taught, unfortunately, and this is my heartbreak for the polygamy groups and other religious groups, is that they're taught what to think, but they're not taught how to think. And they're told not to read or see any material that is not faith-promoting. And so naturally, they'll never look for the truth anywhere else, and they're led astray that way. And we're just trying to get them to think and check things out on this program.
Yes, well, just let me say that I used to be LDS, and I've read the Bible, and I've studied it, and I've picked it apart from front to back. And in the process, I am just amazed at how awesome the Bible is. Every day I see parallel passages from the Old Testament to the New Testament that
Yes.
just blow my mind at of how awesome the Bible is.
Mm-hmm. You know, Chad, when I first started doing my Bible studies, And I would do the comparison of the Old and the New Testament and prophecy and the word studies and all that. And I realized that all those years that I had been told you couldn't trust the Bible, that statement was made by someone and many people who had not a clue and had never studied the Bible themselves. Because if they had studied the Bible, they would have been able to discover these same things that I was discovering. There's no way some of the things that are in the Bible and the way that the thread is carried through from beginning to end could man have been the author. It had to have come from God.
Yep, and that's what you get the more you study it.
Right,
it just,
exactly.
It just grows on you and grows on you, and it just you start to fall in love with it more and more every day.
Mm-hmm. We have to run to another call. We're getting short on time, and I'd like to take this other call. So we appreciate your call.
Right. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye.
Uh-huh. Good night. Hello. Is this Mike?
Uh-huh.
Oh, hi, Mike.
Hi.
We got you. We only have a little bit of time, so.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to comment on, first of all, the guy Christian was questioning, you know, how do you know that the Bible is the Word of God if you can't trust your heart, you know? And I just wanted to say what a great command of the Word of God you have, and I just wanted to say that it's just wonderful that you've committed all those verses to memory, and you know, the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed,
yes,
rightfully dividing the word of truth.
Uh-huh, it does say
God
that.
Doesn't want us to be ashamed when somebody asks us, how do you know this, how
right.
do you know that,
right.
And when you can just rattle off those verses, you know, that Jesus said he would lead us into all truth, and how do you know this? And, well, the Bible says in Acts, you know, that they studied the Scriptures and searched the Scriptures to see if those things were so.
Right.
And all the verses, and every one of the verses explains every question that mankind has.
Right,
and,
it does.
And then if you do an extensive research on the Bible, you'll find out that prophecy proves the Bible, history,
mm-hmm.
archaeology proves the Bible, even the fact that there were like 333 specific prophecies concerning
right,
Jesus Christ
right.
in the Old Testament, where
mm-hmm.
he would be born, how many pieces of silver that Judas would betray him for. And then David in Psalm 22 talks about that they
yes.
pierced my hands,
Mike,
my feet.
Mike, I appreciate your call, but we're getting short on time. We only have a few seconds left. So
okay.
I thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate
right,
it.
Uh-huh. Thank you very much.
You bet. Uh-huh.
Right.
Good night. Well, we did. I hope we got the calls that were dropped. And if anybody that we didn't and you didn't call back, please email us, tv@aboutpolygamy.com, and ask your questions or call in next week. We would love to be able to answer your questions. I was trying to get to some more of the myths tonight, which we started a few weeks ago, and we just haven't gotten to them either. But we'll have to put that aside for another night because we still have some more myths of early Mormon polygamy. We do hope that you take the gift of eternal life that we talked about. Remember, no one works for a genuine gift. Thanks for being here. We appreciate it. See you next week. Good night.
This has been the audio podcast edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? This program is a production of A Shield and Refuge Ministry and Main Street Church of Brigham City. You can view current and past video episodes as well as download audio episodes of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. If you or someone you know is in need of assistance in leaving a polygamous situation, please contact us. We are here to help. All of our contact information can be found at shieldandrefuge.org or call us at 877-425-9993. If you have any questions or comments about this or any of our other programs, we'd love to hear from you. Write us at email@whatloveisthis.tv. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again.